thank you, tech team. Our first impressions team, who was so warmly and wonderfully greeting folks as they came in. To our awesome Sunday school teachers, who had studied and prepared the Word of God through every age group. To last week's snow removal that folks were out here working behind the scenes on. And you get the picture. Wow. Thank you for all of you servants. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Oh, good. Good, good, good. Now, before I go very much further, Kelly was wanting to know what the rope's for. And I told her she was going to have to hold on for a few minutes. And my good friend Delberta from Hayes, Kansas, wanted to know how long I was going to preach. And I said, well, they gave me a microphone. That's a wild card, so I don't know what to tell you. Which is kind of my segue into this. We have some guests with us this morning. Welcome. We have some folks from my very first church where I started spiritual formation in my life in Pittsburgh, Kansas, at Pittsburgh First Church of the Nazarene. That's where Diane and I were married. It was at a different location, but nonetheless, welcome this morning. And to my good friends from Hayes, Dr. Jerry Storrs and his wife, Delberta, this is kind of like a Back to the Future episode. They were on staff here in the mid-80s with Roy and Helen Peterson. Jerry and Delberta, welcome. What a great to see you guys. Great to see all of you this morning. My goodness. Wow, what a treat. So I brought some rope. Okay. We'll get to that in a minute. And now don't be throwing things at me. Don't be talking to me after church. I brought some poker chips. Okay? All right. Luck, faith, and hope. A lot of people in America today are betting their futures, are betting their lives on one of them, luck, or faith, or hope, or any combination of the three of them. Luck. If you're heading to the casino today after church, and if you're looking to improve your odds at the blackjack table, I can't really help you with that. Because, one, I don't have a poker face. In my family, when we're all together, we play this whodunit game called Mafia. And the premise of the game's kind of trying to make other people believe that you're not in the mafia, and we're trying to discover who is and who isn't. I can never fool anybody. My kids figure out immediately with my lack of a poker face whether I'm lying or telling the truth in this whodunit game. So one, I don't have a poker face. And number two, I really don't know when to hold them and when to fold them, you know? So there's that. Luck is probably not going to work out for me. If you're not heading to the casino today, maybe after church today, you might be headed to the convenience store to buy a Powerball ticket. I don't know. And if you're looking to hit the jackpot, I just need to be straight up front with you and let you know that the odds of your winning are 1 in 300 million. Odds are better you'll get hit by a dump truck in the church parking lot leaving today than they are in winning the Powerball. So if you're betting your future, if you're placing your hope in luck, good luck with that. And then there's faith. everyone has faith in something or someone. But as my friend Glenn used to tell me, he'd say, Pastor, here's the deal. Faith is not the same for everyone. A couple of examples here. John Lennon, recognize that name from days gone by? I know Randy does. Randy was a teenager then. John Lennon, member of the Beatles rock band. John Lennon said this about faith. He said, I believe in everything until it's disproved. So I believe in fairies, the myths, dragons. It all exists even if it's in your minds. Former Oklahoma Governor Brad Henry said, faith is this. It's believing in yourself and the rest will fall into place. Have faith in your own abilities. Work hard. And there is nothing that you cannot accomplish. Well, that was the kind of faith that my dad instilled in me. Faith for me growing up was never, ever connected to religion. It was connected to hard work. Now, if I owned a farm, and I don't, and if I was a betting man, and I'm not, I'd bet the farm that some of you were raised with that kind of faith. You got to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, you got to put on your big boy pants, and you got to get to work. Now, that's faith. Now, those are two diverse takes on faith, one from John Lennon with the Beatles and one from a politician, an Oklahoma governor. And they're from two people who come from very diverse life experiences. Now, when it comes to faith, it does seem to me that many American Christians have what I'm calling a circumstantial faith. It's a faith that's based on how things are for me, for you, right now. If life is good, if we're on the mountaintop, faith is good and working out great. But if life is hard, and if it's getting harder, well then, faith begins to wane. It begins to diminish. And when that happens, Houston, we've got a problem. And why, you might ask? Well, I am glad you did ask. Because you can say amen to this, circumstances change, don't they? Like the Kansas weather forecast, circumstances change and they can change in a heartbeat. If the foundation of our faith is based on our circumstances, if it's based on how things are going for me right now, then our faith will collapse. It'll collapse under the pressure, under the trials, under the testing, and all the king's horses and all the king's men won't be able to put faith back together again. Faith is a little bit like a ladder, leaning against a wall. Everyone's faith is leaning against something. Are you with me, church? What is your faith ladder leaning against? Is it your spouse if you're married? If that's the case, what happens to your faith when your spouse leaves, when your spouse dies. Is your faith ladder leaning against your doctor? And if that's the case, what happens when your doctor moves? That happened to Diana in the last few months, where she got notification that her doctor was leaving her practice and moving somewhere else. Is your faith ladder leaning against money? Your Social Security benefit, your job? If that's what your ladder is leaning against, what happens when that dries up? What happens to your faith then? And maybe your faith ladder this morning is leaning against your pastor. And now I'm meddling here a little bit. What happens when your pastor leaves? Then, what happens to your faith? So, kind of a rhetorical question here for us this morning, church, is what is your faith ladder leaning against? And to be honest with yourself, if you're betting your future on another person, or medical science, or money, or work, if you're betting your future on faith in those things in this life, well, good luck with that. The better odds, church, for a faith that won't crumble under the pressures and the circumstances and the experience and the trials and the testings of life has its roots in a person. Jesus Christ. The foundation of our faith is meant to be Jesus Christ and Him alone. Everything else changes like shifting sand. The author of Hebrews tells us that he does not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there's luck that some people are betting their future on, and there's faith and all different kinds of faith that some people are betting their future on, and that brings us to hope. Hope now, somewhat like faith, means different things to different people, okay? Hope can be broad. Hope can be narrow. Hope can be general. Hope can be specific. Hope can be based on circumstances, and it too can vary on those circumstances. Hope can be an ambition. I hope I'm debt-free in 3 years. Hope can be a plan. I plan to retire at age 62 and do some traveling in my RV. Hope can be a desire. I hope to lose 25 pounds. I hope she's going to be okay. I hope they get that fixed. I hope this works out okay. I hope. Hope might be a dream. Hope might be an expectation. Hope might be a wish, but it's always something out there that we're hoping for. It's something that's sought, but it's not yet realized. So, you're sitting at the poker table of life, and you've brought your chips with you, and you're You're betting on a few things. You're all in this game of life. What hope are you betting your future on? Is it medical science? You know, as I've gotten older, I've realized that I spend more time than I'd care to thinking about prescriptions and doctor's appointments and healthcare costs. And you got the picture. Are you betting your future on medical science? I heard recently on K-Love of a 15-year-old teenager from Maryland who recently discovered a test that is 100% accurate in identifying pancreatic cancer. What is a 15-year-old doing messing with lab tests and things? He ought to be out there playing video games with his buddies. But I sure hope that his discovery works out. Maybe your hope is on medical science. Maybe your hope, Chip, is all in on the economy. You know, the Economics Research Council recently reported that there is a slight economic recovery expected for 2025. And I sure hope it is, because my wife loves to eat eggs and they're expensive. Whew! Well, I hope the economy gets better before it gets worse. Maybe your hope is betting on medical science. Maybe your hope is betting on the economy. Maybe your hope is betting on your work. We Americans, man, we work. I blame Moses for it, you know. In Psalm 90, he asked the Lord to establish the work of his hands, and we've been working ever since, so it's Moses' fault, but we work. What happens when the work dries up? I mean, tell that to the some 800 employees at Tyson Food Plant in Emporia that was recently given furloughs, layoffs, because the plant's closing. We've been through that here in Topeka in numerous venues, whether it's Goodyear or whether it's State or whatever the case might be. We know that work is not a sure thing. Maybe it's medical science that you're betting your chips on. Maybe it's the economy. Maybe it's your work. Maybe you've put your chips down on a strong military. Now, I think I've told you before, I'm a veteran and I esteem and love veterans, and I'm proud to be a patriot and a veteran. And I think we've got the best military in the world. But according to a recent article on Business Insider, the United States military is experiencing some problems. The ranks of the American Armed Forces, they say, are depleted and recruiting is in crisis mode. We may be ahead of Russia and China right now, but that might not be for very long. I hope that changes soon. And our military can not only remain strong, but be strong for years to come. So are your chips on the table for medical science? Are your chips on the table for the economy, for your work, for a strong military? Maybe you've got your chip. Maybe you're betting your future on your spouse, on a loved one, a loving home, until death do we part. ABC News reports, and this would speak to a significant amount of us in here, including myself, that the divorce rate among Americans age 50 and older has doubled since the 1990s. And I look at my precious wife, and I hope she's not kicking me to the curb, Pastor Tom. I sure hope not. Eggs are too expensive. She needs me. Yeah. Thank you for that, but I appreciate being needed, but I think she'd function just fine without me. What are you betting your hope on? Medical science, the economy, your work, your family, money. What are you betting your hope on, your future on? We all have hope in something or someone. What hope are you betting your future on? If you have your Bibles with you this morning, or your cell phone, your mobile device, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. It is rich. And we're only going to talk about a portion of it this morning. A little background as you're finding Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament. Hebrews was written in the mid-60s after the death of Jesus. It was written to a Jewish Christian audience in Rome, which essentially the pagan capital of the world in that day. We don't know who the author of the letter of Hebrews is. We've got our thoughts on it. Some say it was the Apostle Paul, because it kind of sounds like his writings. Some say it was possibly Apollos, or Luke, or Barnabas, but there is no internal evidence to concretely reveal to us who wrote this wonderful New Testament book of Hebrews. We don't know who the author is for sure. What we do know about Hebrews is this: the author loved the church. The author loved his people and was concerned about their faith. Christians in Rome were under heavy pressure, heavy persecution, and it was predominantly because they believed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as Messiah. It wasn't because they were Greek, or because they were black, or because they were white, because they were Roman or otherwise. It was because of their faith. Many of these Jewish Christians had been taught and embraced the belief that Jesus Christ was going to return imminently soon. All their chips were on the table. They had been Christians for a while already. They had faced their share of hardships. But when Jesus had not yet returned, and it had been over half a century almost, their faith was beginning to erode. It was dissipating. They were beginning to wander from their Christian confession. And consequently, as many were beginning to believe that this faith in Jesus was not working so well, they consequently were giving up on hope in his return and hope in him as Messiah. So the Hebrews author in chapter 10, he says this very emphatically. He says in Hebrews 10:23, he says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." These Christian, Jewish Christian Romans, they're challenged to endure. They're challenged to persevere. They're challenged to hold on. Don't give up. Don't shrink back. Don't walk away. Keep faith alive. Nobody said it would be easy, but you're not a nobody. You're a Christian. And that brings us to Hebrews chapter 11. Got your Bibles there with you? And it'll be on the screen if you don't, or if you don't have it on your cell phone. I'll be reading from the New International Version. And you've been studying for a moment or two, so why don't you stand up with me as I read the Word of God. And let me tell you why this old guy kind of does that. Maybe you don't know where that comes from. Back in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, if you can believe this, the priests, the leaders of the church had lost their Bibles. For hundreds of years they lost their Bibles, meaning the scrolls, the law, okay? The Old Testament, they'd lost their Bibles for hundreds of years. And when it was found, they celebrated, they worshiped. And when Ezra got up to read the Word of God, as they had asked him to, out of reverence, out of awe, out of honor, out of respect, all the people stood, just like we are doing today. God's Word is holy. God's Word is sharp. God's Word is active, like a double-edged sword. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, living faith in our lives. So they stood up. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'm going to read these six verses out of the NIV. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." This is what the ancients were commended for. "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." The Word of the Lord. You may be seated. Praise be to God. Church, there's some big, bold, highlighted, can't miss, connect the dots here between faith and hope. Not faith in fairies or dragons, or hope in medical science or the economy, but rather biblical faith and biblical hope. For the Christian church, they are two ends of the same rope. They are connected together. Biblical faith and biblical hope are two ends of the same rope. The Greek word for faith here in our passage in chapter 11, verse 1 is pistis. And it can be translated faith, but also it can be translated trust or belief. The foundation of our faith is a person, Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ we trust. In Jesus Christ we believe. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I told you the most important part of the message, exactly as it was told to me. That part is Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures say. He was buried, and 3 days later, he was raised to life, as the scriptures say. God gave his word. He had promised that he would send a Messiah, a Savior, and he did that. His son, Jesus Christ. That's not only biblical, but it's historical fact that is documented in resources outside of the Holy Scriptures. That Jesus lived, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose from the dead. And he sits now at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming back just like he said he would. And your future, because of your belief, because of your trust, because of your faith in Jesus, that's directly connected to the promises of God, is sure and secure. With resolute confidence, biblical hope embraces and holds on to the promises of God, and God always keeps his promises. Biblical hope is a hope that's forward thinking, that embodies a strong, confident expectation that what's ahead is going to be better, much better than what life is for us here and now. As Pastor Ryan said earlier, right now some of us are on the mountaintop and it's hard to imagine life being any better. And when life is good, life is good. But for some of us, life is hard and getting harder. God, through faith and hope in Jesus Christ, his Son, has secured our future. And God's not a liar. God keeps his promises. Oh, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. Whatever life is for you right now, it's going to be better and more than you can possibly imagine. That's our hope. That's our promise. We're sure of it. Even though we can't see it right now. Earlier in the text of Hebrews, the author says, we have this hope. That's an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The foundation of our faith is Christ Jesus. The hope we have is not in our money, not in our work, not in our economy, not in our spouse, not in someone or something other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The ancients believed that. Hebrews chapter 11, that I sometimes refer to as the Faith Hall of Fame, has a long list of ordinary people, just like you and I. From Noah to Rahab the prostitute to Gideon the weakling, who lived out their faith with resolute confidence in the promises of God. Even though, as verse 39 tells us in the text, later in that chapter, that what they hoped for had not yet come to pass. But they still hoped. They still trusted. They still believed. Well, bully for you, Bob. I read that passage and I think, well, that's just ducky. But I don't know those people. I oftentimes can't relate to those people. That's then and this is now. And I think, how's that going to work for me? Now, come on, now be transparent here with me. We think those things. I do. And then I met Jim. Jim had recently lost his wife of 60 years. Wow. Sitting behind me and Diana in the worship service was Jim, singing off key at the top of his voice with a grin on his face. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jim was betting on hope. And then I met Norma. Norma was older than me. And I hadn't known Norma very long before she ended up in the hospital in Kansas City. Her liver was failing. Norma needed a liver transplant. That was all that medical science offered her in the way of hope to continue living. Her liver began to fail at a rapid pace, and she'd been on the donor list for a while. She hoped that a suitable donor, a match, would be found. And in due time, it was. So she was scheduled for the transplant surgery. But she knew going in, because of her age and because of her medical condition, that the odds were stacked against her. There was a decent possibility that her body would reject this liver, even though it was identified as a perfect match. There's no guarantees with transplants, is there? So she had the surgery, and initially it looked like her body was going to accept this new liver, but that hope didn't last very long. Circumstances changed. So I had made the trip back up to see Norma. All the while, hoping that I could say the right words to encourage her. That I could say the right words to lift her spirits. She's dying. Walked into her hospital room that day, praying that I could just have the right words to say, and I found Norma sitting up in her hospital bed, and as I walked in, she had a smile on her face. I said, oh, Norma. I confess, I really don't know what to say. I'm praying for you. And she says, oh, Pastor, I'm okay. Don't you fret. Jesus is my Savior, and I'm good. Norma was betting on hope. You see, hope for the Christian is an unshakable confidence that God is at work, that God is for us, that God is with us, and that God keeps His promises, every single one of them. Church, the foundation of our faith must be in Jesus Christ alone. The only firm and secure hope we have in this world is Jesus. Faith in Christ, hope in Christ are two ends of the same rope. You can't separate them. They go together. When my oldest son, Robbie, was a Seaman High School senior, they had a really good football team, and he played on the varsity. And they were set to play Salina Central in the state Class 5A championship game. Salina Central was the defending champions. Salina Central at the time was a perennial Class 5A football powerhouse in Kansas. Every year they were in the title chase. But not Seaman. This was their first time in football in a state championship game ever. And they were coming up against a mighty opponent. And Seaman had not ever been there before. They'd not been challenged like this before. And prior to the game, the Seaman head coach, Bill Lowe, he wrote a note to each of his players. He encouraged them to play for each other, to remember all that they had learned, to give their very best, and to stick together whatever happened, whatever the result was. Football, like life, is a tug of war. You gain ground, you lose ground. You complete a pass, you get sacked. It's a lot like that, you know? Enclosed with the note that the coach gave to each player was a small piece of rope. And the note said simply these three words: hold the rope. Seaman lost the game. Oh, it was a barn burner. It was close. But you see, the message was not about winning the football game. The application, the message was about life. Sticking together. Working for and with each other. Being in unity. Whatever happens, we're going to go through this together. That applies for us too. Fairlawn, hold the rope. Hold it in these days of transition. Hold it together. Keep together. Be people of unity. Play this game of life together. Remember who you are in Christ. Hold on to faith and hold on to hope, two ends of the same rope. Church, bet on hope that's grounded in the promises of God in Christ Jesus. The psalmist writes in Psalm 42:5, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God." Praise His holy name. Church, as we go this morning, hold on to the rope. Hold on to it with each other. It's intended for you to put in your purse. What are you carrying that rope for? Well, you can tell somebody. You can easily put it in your pocket. What are you carrying that rope for, Pastor? Well, let me tell you about my rope. I have faith in Jesus Christ, and my hope is in Him. Firm and secure, confident. Ah, praise Him. Praise Him. Church, would you please stand as we close this morning? What are you betting your hope on? What are you betting your future on? If it's not Jesus, you're being set up for failure. If it is Jesus, be reminded as you hold that rope that you have this anchor for your soul, firm and secure. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for this reminder that our faith is meant to be, always to be, in Christ Jesus, your Son. And that our hope, the only real and lasting and true hope for the Christian, is in Jesus Christ. Father, as we go today, may we be people who hold on to the rope. Faith in Christ. Hope in Christ. And may we be able to say with sure confidence, whatever happens, whatever take place, whatever is next, it is well with my soul. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As you go this morning, go in peace. Go with confidence, holding on to the rope that is Christ Jesus, your Lord, your Savior, the author, perfecter of your faith, the only real, true hope. The Lord bless you and keep you. You're dismissed, and I hope to see every one of you back here next Sunday, because I'm preaching again and I got something else for you. God bless. You're dismissed.